our job is to make sure that we are all operating with a common set of facts. And so that's whether it's the media or, you know, everyday Tennesseans or legislators, our job is to set the stage for how did the process work last time? Because that really tells us something about how it could work this time, right? If past is prologue, it seems to be the best way to predict. And we know that last time in 2011, there were very limited opportunities for public comment. But we also, it is our job to say, how could it work this time? What do Tennesseans have the right to expect as far as how they can get engaged in the redistricting process? And that's where we look to, honestly, other peer states and see what's happening there. So in Tennessee right now, Chrissy, I don't actually have an answer as to, because there is not one yet, about how your listeners can get engaged in the redistricting process. But I can tell you in Alabama, the legislature is holding 28 public hearings. And in Arkansas and Mississippi and Louisiana and Georgia, all of those legislatures are holding public hearings across those states to hear from folks. So I wish I could tell you that the same will happen here. I hope that it will, but it hasn't yet.
The legislature just hasn't been vocal about the plan?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we've heard is it's too early, but all these other states, those processes are very much underway, right? They held meetings throughout the summer. And so we're hopeful that Tennessee will offer Tennesseans the same sorts of opportunities. We're just yet to see it. But again, it's our job to lay the foundation of what is possible and what is working in states that are really pure states in a lot of ways. So if you folks in Alabama get 28 hearings, I think just people in Tennessee who want to get engaged in the process have every right to expect the same sort of thing.
Again, though, even if we have public meetings, all of this is supposedly data-driven and doesn't really have anything to do with people's feelings, right?
I mean, who knows your community best? You do. You live in it. And so the way that voters, Tennesseans participate in their highest and best use is to help legislators understand what's in their community that needs to stay together. Like, I know my community best. And when I look at these lines, I can see that you're actually splitting up this neighborhood that's actually very closely knit. Or, you know, we know our community best. And when you are drawing it with this wonky line that goes way out, that's actually, we don't see that as being part of our community, but we do see this part. So Tennesseans know their communities best. And so I really see it as our role to convey to the folks who are drawing the lines, here's how you keep our community together. They can't do that if they don't have the opportunity to submit their input someplace. Like, folks who live in these neighborhoods have all this information about their neighborhoods, but if they don't have any place to put it, then it's not very useful, even to the legislators who are trying their very best to keep those communities together.
Yeah.
And when we look at, again, if past is prologue, and we looked at what was happening in 2011, there just really wasn't very much citizen input. I mean, there were 4 draft maps submitted last time because there weren't really any public meetings that asked folks for draft maps. So it is through draft maps or testimony that is happening in these other states. Community members are saying, here is the way that my community wants to be kept together.
Do you lobby the legislature? Do you release reports that people read? How do you get your information out to the people who are making the decisions?
Think Tennessee does research, engagement, and advocacy. So research, what are the best practices across the country? What is working in other places that could work here? So that's sort of driven by the philosophy that Tennessee deserves nice things too. And so if Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, and Louisiana has those nice things, like, I've got young kids, like, it's only fair. Like, if they've got the nice things, we want them too. So we do the research to show what are the nice things, how are they working, how could they work here? And then we do engagement. So we are research and policy people. There's so many important organizations that are working with their members on the ground in the neighborhood. So we help them establish that common set of facts. How did redistricting work last time? What are the laws that govern it? What are the parameters? Like, how could we expect it to work this time? So we work with, we're not a grassroots group. We work with grassroots groups to help spread the word. But it's also our job to engage the media and help, you know, media who wasn't, maybe some of our reporters weren't working here in 2011. So how does it work? It's our job to educate grassroots groups, and then the General Assembly. There's a lot of legislators themselves. We've had lots of turnover. So if you weren't here in 2011, you can't really be expected to know exactly how it went. So we had staff calling through the videos of those old meetings and articulating a process. So everybody understands this is the way that it worked last time, which is the way that we would expect it to work this time, unless somebody pushes for changes or decides to make them. And then we do advocacy. And so that, you know, nonprofits, nonpartisan organizations are legally allowed to do some advocacy. And we absolutely do that because we see it as our job to inform legislators about best practices and what we hope we can expect as far as public engagement around redistricting.
Where can people go to find information about redistricting?
The House has a splash page put up. And as you'll see, it is just a map of the current districts, and it says what the population of the state of Tennessee is. And then it's also got a phone number for Doug Himes, who is the staffer that I think is Ethics Counsel in the House, who's coordinating. The Senate does not have a website like that. But one thing that I'm really excited about is the way that the nonprofit community has stepped up. So you've got civic engagement groups like the League of Women Voters, Civic Tennessee, nonpartisan groups that are going to be holding and have already been holding community meetings, helping to inform folks about, here's how the redistricting process works. Here is how, you know, you have the right to engage in it. Helping folks get educated and honestly helping them understand why this really wonky topic actually matters for their day-to-day lives. So I'm hopeful that the General Assembly will do it. And I know that sort of the nonpartisan, nonprofit community is going to do something as well, which, you know, hopefully that will be really robust and give even more opportunities to folks than there were in 2011, when those opportunities were pretty few and far between.